Radio BYT.
Welcome into episode 5.
Holy moly.
Of Radio BYT.
We've made it to 5 episodes.
But
it's nice to be back.
Yeah, hi. You had a week off. How did it feel?
It was great.
We made it to 5, but through the first 4, I want to thank everybody. Because I took the number shortly. No, it doesn't include today. And again, I don't want to timestamp it and blah, 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 blah. But through the first 4 episodes, we have over 2,100 plays.
Holy cow.
Which I think is pretty good for
just
the first
starting.
Month.
Yeah. That's shocking. Thanks for listening. He didn't tell me those numbers. I'm super surprised.
Yeah.
That's a lot of listens.
So it's pretty good.
Thanks, guys.
I want to do a quick thought on my end. Do you have any quick thoughts? I'll give you, if you don't, do you?
No, I'm good.
Okay,
Pass. So
I have a quick thought.
Sure.
It aggravated me. I was on Facebook today. I saw a video of a woman. Now, that's not what aggravated me. But I saw a video of a woman. She was laying down on the side of a bear.
Feeding it strawberries. Why does that aggravate you? It's adorable.
Bears are not our friends. That's why.
When we feed them strawberries, they are.
No. It didn't really aggravate me as much as it, like, as much as the comments did when I went into the comments and it was like, oh, and then what's not shown is that she got ate by the bear after.
She didn't get eaten by the bear after.
But it did remind me of one time when I thought I was being a good Samaritan, when we were looking out our window on a cold winter day.
Oh my God.
And
it wasn't winter. It was like summer.
I saw what I believed to be a dog walk by our house and it looked very lost. So I said, Jess, we gotta find its owner. We gotta do something here.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe I'm like a dog whisperer, so maybe I can like get the dog and we can find its owner and make it a thing. Or we can have a third dog. So me and you, we put our coats on, set up.
No, this is not how this happened at all. First of all, rewind.
Okay.
It was 6 o'clock in the morning, like 6:30. We typically get up pretty early. And
yes.
We were in the living room.
Yep.
And we saw this dog run by. And Mitch is like, oh my goodness.
I have to save this dog.
Yes. So he gets on all his clothes and just runs out the door and leaves me. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to follow. So I saw him go left. So naturally, I went right. So hopefully we can
corner the dog.
Yeah, because we live off of Main Street. So it gets a little dicey. Like,
yeah,
it was early, whatever. It would have probably been okay because it wasn't super busy. But we live off of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
So he went left. I went right. And then I like circled the block, didn't see the dog. So I went back to the house and grabbed my cell phone.
Yeah.
And I call him. And he's like, I think I see the dog. It's not going to get close to me. I'm trying to get it close to me. I'm like, okay, where are you? And he's like, oh, I'm right around the corner. So I start like walking
no,
over.
No, wait a minute. You missed one important part of mm-hmm. what I said to you. It's staring at me.
Yes, it's staring at me. So I start like walking over, and so Mitch is like standing in the middle of the street.
Yep.
And said dog is in somebody's yard.
Yeah.
Just staring, dead staring at Mitch. Like yep. They're having a stare off.
Yeah.
Mind you, the dog doesn't have a collar on.
Yep.
It's just standing there. So I round the corner and I say, Mitch, that's not a dog.
Right.
So I'm like, walk slowly and run.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm like, oh, it's a light bulb. It's a coyote.
That's a coyote.
So I back away from it, and then chills run down my spine, and I run faster than Usain Bolt out of that vicinity. I'm surprised the coyote didn't attack me. Now, that being said, I have full confidence that I could have tamed that coyote and we could be living three peas in a pod, Ollie, no, Thor, and a coyote.
Absolutely not.
We can call it Wile E.
Remember that time we went to the zoo and the coyote, there was a service dog in the coyote.
There was a wolf. Like, yeah, the wolf. Yeah, the wolf kept putting its paw through the fence trying to play with the service dog. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Only at the Roger Williams
Zoo. Speaking of dogs, this is the second week in a row I've got to do a segue with speaking of dogs, and it has nothing to do. About a week and a half ago, by the time this airs, the Bachelor season finale premiered.
Speaking of dogs.
We watched the Bachelor season finale. Now, it was a two-parter because it was so big that it had to be two parts.
Yep.
So Monday and Tuesday, he's still thinking about it. I'm still thinking about it, too, for different reasons. Now, I don't watch The Bachelor normally.
Normally, I don't either. This is the first season I really tuned in to tell you guys the truth. I don't know why I did. I don't know what enticed me.
So, thanks for taking question one off the table.
Sorry.
What drew you into this season?
What did draw me in? I think I saw like a preview for it. And some nights, like Mitch will come downstairs and do his thing. So I'm like, you know what? I need
that
to
sounds
show.
Awful. I don't do my thing. I play video games.
Well,
okay.
Like you come downstairs and do you, and I stay upstairs and do me. Like,
you know how bad that
oh
sounds.
Oh my God. Okay. You're so annoying. Not like we just like go our separate ways for a few hours and like.
It's my me time.
Yeah. It's our me time.
That's fair.
So I was like, I think I saw a preview and I'm like, oh, I need a show that I can like watch when he's like not around that we don't watch together that I know he wouldn't, well, that I thought he wouldn't be interested in. So I started watching it and it kind of like draws you in. And I think the concept of the show is so silly. Like, I just don't understand it. I don't believe that you can stick a man in a house of 30 women and by the end of it, he's in love and he'll get engaged. I think it's silly. Just like Married at First Sight, I think it's silly, but it...
But at least those are real, like, situations and they're living their real lives.
But, yeah, true, because this is, like, all fantasy.
That's what I... All right. I put on the agenda, is The Bachelor the worst show of all time?
No, I wouldn't say the worst show of all time.
I will tell you 100% yes. That show is the worst show of all time.
Why?
Good question. So, most reality shows that you watch, right, they obviously have fake components, but they at least make it look like it's organic and real. The Bachelor will give you 20 minutes of people walking around, no one in sight, like pondering and looking off into the distance like, oh, I got a really hard decision. And like walking down the road to the point that I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And then the worst part of it all, right? What's the host's name? Chris something?
Yep.
Okay. They went to a commercial, mm-hmm. came back, and he literally, the first sentence out of his mouth, when we come back, we give you the dramatic conclusion of Colton and Cassie. And then they went to commercial again. They were back for 20 seconds, not even. And I'm like, what are we doing?
They need to make their money.
And I feel bad for Colton. Colton was the Bachelor. Mm-hmm. I feel really bad for Colton.
Why?
Because how many virginity jokes did this guy get thrown his way?
Yeah.
Like, how do you better hope it works out with this girl.
Poor guy.
So that being said, he ended up choosing Cassie in a crazy way. He jumped over the fence for her and went running down in the hills of Portugal. So do you think that it's happily ever after for Colton and Cassie?
So here's my take on it. I wasn't the biggest fan of Cassie because of how the other girls were like, she's not ready, she's not ready. And then when she decided to break up with Colton, I'm like, oh, this girl like dragged him through the mud because she wasn't ready. And now she's in the final three and now she's going to break up with him. Like, why did she come here if she didn't mentally think she was going to be ready for a proposal at the end? But now that all is said and done, I respect what she did because she was 100% honest with him and saying, I don't feel like I'm getting there and it's not fair to the other girls and to you that I'm not 100% all in. And I totally, like, I can totally see why she felt that way, because it's fake. Everything is fake. They're not.
Because you're on a show.
Yeah. She said, we've been literally together for 2 hours. Like, that's not enough time to fall in love with somebody. But apparently Colton felt some type of way. And he followed his heart. And that's amazing, because now they look very happy. But I completely agree. I think she was the only true and honest one on the show for, you know, telling him that she couldn't get there.
I think that of all any season of The Bachelor possible, like, this is the one that's going to end up being like a lifelong thing, because they're playing the long game. They're
because
not,
of how pure and honest they were to each other.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because he was a virgin. If you didn't know, he was a virgin going into
poor
this
guy.
But no, I hate that show. I would not care to watch it again. Although The Bachelorette.
You really like some Hannah B, huh?
Yeah, good. Roll Tide. It aggravates me that it went so far out of its way to look fake. Like, when they were sitting down to eat dinner, it just looked fake. Like, at least other reality shows do it in a way that it looks real. It looks like there's actually people in the restaurant, and like, I don't know. And they didn't eat their food. They just went straight to the fantasy suite.
I watched Kelly and whatever, Mike, who's that? Kelly and Ryan. They switch hosts so many times now. And they asked them, do you ever eat? And they're like, no, we honestly don't. So
I feel you.
So it is what it is. But overall, I enjoyed watching the show. I think I will watch The Bachelorette, and it might just
pull
me in.
Oh, we watching The Bachelorette.
Oh,
because
he loved him some Hannah B.
It's not even about Hannah B. It's about Cam, the guy that came out there and just started spitting bars at Hannah B. But yeah, I think we'll watch. I am a sucker at the end of the day for trash reality TV, so
absolutely.
I got to get through my day, and they make me feel a little bit happier about myself.
Speaking of trash reality TV,
yes.
Did you see what MTV's putting forth now, their version of The Bachelor?
With what?
Pauly. Shout out to my
Pauly D?
Homeboy, Pauly. That's
Rhode
from
Island
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island Zone.
And Vinny, so they're putting them
the Keto
in a
Guido?
House. Yep. They're
I
putting
like that.
Them in a house with, I think, 20 or 30 women, and they're hopefully
are they
going to
be clones
love.
Too?
No, they're not clones.
I like
apparently
this.
He didn't find his one in Clonely. So yeah, that's airing in April. That will be interesting.
We already have that DVR'd, I'm sure. Speaking of love stories.
Oh man.
What do you say we dive into the next segment?
Okay. Find the sound clip. Bam.
Let's all go to the movies. BYT goes to the movies. Let's all go to the movies to tell you what we saw.
So, a couple weeks ago now, it was snowing, right?
Yep.
You went to the Black Dog sale.
I did. It was great.
I said, I'm going to rent some movies. So I rented Bohemian Rhapsody. I rented A Star Is Born. Now, it's very late to review these movies, so we're not really going to dive into the nuts and bolts of the plot and all that.
Y'all have probably seen them.
Yes.
And if you haven't, go see them.
Yes.
That's how we're going to wrap that up.
But they were the two like biggest musical movies that came out last year, so I feel like they're worth talking about because I feel very strongly about both of them.
Yeah.
So when you went to the Black Dog sale, when you came home, I had watched A Star Is Born. I had to stop watching A Star Is Born twice. The first time I had to stop it and go outside and shovel because I was getting too emotional. So I shut it off. I said to the dogs, and guys, I'm going outside. I'll be back. We'll continue this later. Went outside, shoveled, came back, watched it. Movie was over. And we're not diving into A Star Is Born. I want to do Bohemian Rhapsody first, but I'm just giving you the lay of the land of the events, as it were, the day that we watched it. So finished watching A Star Is Born, shut the TV off and went, I got to go shovel.
And this is coming from the guy that didn't even cry when I walked down the aisle.
Exactly. That hit me in such a way. So went out and shoveled. While I was shoveling, you came home.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to you, hey, I rented Bohemian Rhapsody and A Star Is Born. And you said,
ooh, I want to see both.
Exactly. So I said, I'm glad you said that because I need to watch A Star Is Born again. So we went, we shoveled, whatever. We watched Bohemian Rhapsody first.
Loved it. I loved it.
Which one did you enjoy better?
Ugh, I like them both for different reasons, but I think if I had to pick one, I would say Bohemian Rhapsody because...
Wow. Whoa. Whoa.
We can't... The podcast over.
No, I would just pick that because I don't like being sad. Like, I don't know. I just... And I was never... into Queen. I didn't really know the backstory about Queen, so I appreciated,
so
you know, the movie.
So here's the thing. You still don't know the backstory about Queen.
No, I probably don't.
Because that
was
all kinds of wrong.
Yeah, and that's what people said. It's not a true representation of the band or of Freddie Mercury, but I enjoyed seeing it.
Were you happy with the overall story of Bohemian Rhapsody? Did you feel that you got enough Freddie Mercury as opposed to Queen, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the whole story, so I'm not sure if I got enough or not, but I enjoyed watching the movie.
Okay. So Bohemian Rhapsody was nominated for 4 Oscars, right? Rami Malek, who played Freddie Mercury, got... won 4 Oscars. I'm sorry. It won 4 Oscars. Rami Malek got Best Actor. It won for Best Filming, Best Sound Editing, and Best Sound Mixing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it deserved all of those Oscars?
Sure. Why not?
Sure. the only criticism I would have of that movie, and looking back on it now, we'll dive into other pieces in a second, but the only criticism I have of the Oscars itself is that the whole time I felt that he was lip syncing. I didn't feel like it was naturally his voice.
Mm-hmm.
So for me at least, that kind of threw me out of it. So I didn't understand why it won that Oscar, but hey, more power to you.
But let's back up for a second because you are very involved in music and audio.
Yeah.
So his ear and eye are very different from like mine. I didn't even notice that because that's just not, I'm not that type of analytical,
right?
Like when it comes to that sort of stuff.
But
you, like, even when we're watching, like if we watch like a concert on the television or like somebody's on SNL singing, like he'll be like, they're lip syncing. Like, yeah. That he can just point those things out, I can't tell. So the people that can tell those certain things, right. I think it was obvious. But for me, the average viewer, it wasn't.
It's kind of like my theater and film teacher in high school told me that after this class, you'll never look at films the same way.
Yeah.
Because he shows you, like, you know, everything about films to the point that you're like, oh, you're looking at the shot as opposed to the people in the mm-hmm. shot. You know. Agreed. So. Going back into it, though, about how it represented Queen and Freddie Mercury, to be honest, it wasn't accurate at all.
And that's what a lot of people have
so said. The whole buildup of the story was building up to Live Aid, right? Mm-hmm. It had you feel like the band was on a break going up to Live Aid, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't true. They had just done 7 shows up to Live Aid, and then they went and did Live Aid. Mm-hmm. Now, they did break up. But they didn't really break up. They all mutually agreed.
Oh.
For example, Freddie Mercury did his album, his solo albums.
Yeah.
But it was after Brian May, which is another member of the band, had already done solo albums.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it was like Freddie Mercury's doing a solo album. Oh my God. You know,
yeah.
It was, that's what they were just doing their own thing in their own time. The other thing too, leading up to Live Aid, the band still didn't know at Live Aid that he had AIDS. That they didn't know that until the 90s.
Interesting.
That Jim, the guy that he ends up loving and being with till he passes away, was not any kind of bartender or caterer or anything like that. He was a hairstylist.
But I think you can't really make an accurate interpretation of somebody's life for a huge film.
Here's the kicker. Jim is the one that gave Freddie.
Oh. Interesting.
So that's a key detail that they switched, which doesn't make any sense. Now, before we dive into my Whoopi, A Star Is Born, I will say this. I heard news today that had me beside myself about Bohemian Rhapsody. beside myself.
What?
They're making a Bohemian Rhapsody 2.
Oh, really? Why?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
So I was
but
like...
But I thought the story was
well,
over.
Well, you want to know why? Because $870-something million dollars at the box office on like a $72 million budget. That's why.
Yeah, well...
So to me, I was trying to rack my brain as to how they could make another story. Mm-hmm. And literally the only thing I can think about is like, are they going to cover the last 6 years of his life?
Maybe.
That is the most depressing stuff I would ever see in my life. Like, it's literally watching a person die on screen. So you want to talk about sad movies? Like...
Yeah, that's going to be super sad.
And it's definitely not going to be good for the Freddie Mercury character. Like, that's not... I don't think that would be good. Like, that was a very personal time for him. I would just leave it alone. I think they said all they needed to say in Bohemian Rhapsody 1. It was fine. Like, it was good. I didn't come away from it thinking it was the greatest movie that a lot of people thought it was.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, what it was is the Queen music is so iconic that you spend most of the movie enjoying the music that you're getting.
Yeah.
You're not really watching the film. Mm-hmm. You're just enjoying
you're
the music.
In the music.
Now, the second movie is the opposite of that for me. So let's talk about A Star Is Born a little bit. Did you like that movie?
No, I love the movie. I thought it was really great. And I had never seen the ones before it, so it was even better.
Oh, the originals?
Yep.
So I didn't see those either. Whatever. I mean, I don't, they're old, but to me, like, I don't know. I wasn't even in on A Star Is Born when it came out. I think I even told you, like, I've had conversations with my friends and we'd go back and forth saying, this movie looks stupid. I don't want to see mm-hmm. this movie. And then I like saw it at the Red Box and I'm like,
you know what? Let's give it a shot.
Let's do it. Everybody's talking about it. Right. So before we even talk about the movie itself, it was nominated for 8 Oscars, and I believe it only won 1.
That's shocking to me.
It won Best Original Song for Shallow, mm-hmm. which I can't get enough of Shallow.
Yeah, you love that song.
When I've been drinking, Shallow is my favorite song of all time. So it won for that. Bradley Cooper was nominated for Best Actor. Lady Gaga was nominated for Best Actress. Sam Elliott, who played Bradley Cooper's brother in the movie, mm-hmm. was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. None of them won. Do you feel that they got snubbed?
I don't know. Like, who won over that? I don't know who won.
So
I don't follow.
In this case, it's literally a direct competition. So for Best Actor, it's Bradley Cooper was nominated. Mm-hmm. Rami Malek was nominated as Freddie Mercury.
And did he win?
Rami Malek did, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think that's not a snub. I think that is exactly how it should be, because you could tell that Malek put everything into that mm-hmm. role. He became Freddie Mercury. Yeah. Bradley Cooper, though, I do respect him because he, I guess, in doing research, he dealt with this, like, substance abuse for a lot of his life. Mm-hmm. And to kind of dive back into that in this movie, and he directed the movie. It's his first.
I'm sure that was difficult.
It's crazy.
For him.
Yeah. To me, though, Sam Elliott as his brother in this movie.
Amazing.
Sam Elliott is like the man, right?
Yeah.
And he cried in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what kills me. So he, you know, he talks with the, I'm Sam Elliott. I got that Southern drawl, you know? And so what happened with the movie is leading up to it, Bradley Cooper was doing his work for the movie mm-hmm. and they were trying to develop his voice for it and all that. And his voice coach modeled it after Sam Elliott before Sam Elliott was cast as his brother.
That's funny.
So then they cast Sam Elliott as his brother and, you know, they sound exactly the same at points. It's crazy. But it won the one. Now, Lady Gaga, she played herself in the movie. So it's tough, not really, but kind of.
Yeah.
So it's tough to give her an Oscar for it. That being said, I was very surprised by how well she was, how
her
well she acted.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I am too. I think she definitely has potential to act in the future after that. And
for sure.
She did an amazing job. I think it helps because she's so theatrical already. That words are hard.
I mean,
I think it helps that she's so like theater driven in her performances. Yeah. So she kind of has that niche to her already. But I was really impressed with how she handled herself on camera.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like her whole thing is a persona that she's acting anytime she's on stage. Mm-hmm. She's acting anytime that she's out in the public eye. Yeah. So, but to take it a step back, the reason why I liked this movie better than Bohemian Rhapsody, I think if you strictly isolate this movie down to the performances compared to the performances in Bohemian Rhapsody, these are filmed so much better. I think it looks better. It looks cleaner. It looks less fake.
But wasn't the budget a lot more for...
No.
No.
Oh, no. The budget for Bohemian Rhapsody was like $72 million. Mm-hmm. The budget for A Star Is Born was like $30.
Oh, wow.
So, well, I mean, what I think... I think they filmed at Coachella. And I think they filmed at like a bunch of Lady Gaga shows. Mm-hmm. So... To me, I mean, they obviously were able to use real footage, which was good. But beyond that, too, like the way that the vocals were mixed in the songs, like it looked like they were really singing, and it looked like it just hit on all the right notes, yeah. You know? And one thing I'm a sucker for is when like someone does something and then the person like immediately takes it and makes it a crazy killer song. And that's what they did with Shallow. Like in the movie the night before, they were just spitballing in a parking lot, like, oh, this was something I came up with and all that. And then literally the next day he's performing, goes onto the side and pulls her on stage and says, we're going to do that song we did last night. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, I did some notes for it. They're not too good, but you know, we'll make it work. And like, they just kill it. And like, I'm like chills on my, I'm sitting there like, oh yeah. I love like music when it's done well. And I think Bradley Cooper learned how to play guitar for this. He learned how to sing for this and he kind of knocked it out of the park.
I agree with you.
I can't get over it. Well, I watched it 2 weeks ago and I'm like still talking about it.
He's
like,
obsessed.
I'm obsessed with it. May be my favorite movie.
And that's funny because you were so like, oh, this is a joke. Like, I'm not.
I'm kind of a sucker for love stories, too.
Yeah, you are.
And like, this is a traumatic, like a tough love story. Andrew Dice Clay's in it as Lady Gaga's dad. And I didn't even know it was.
Everybody listening is going to be like, why are you saying Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga. I didn't know it was the Dice Man. And he kind of killed it, too. Dave Chappelle playing himself in it. Like, it was a good movie. It was a definitely good movie. If you haven't seen A Star Is Born, I'm not going to spoil the ending. It's a really tough ending. It's a really impactful ending.
Go see it if you haven't seen it. It's worth
like,
it.
Like, legit, just call me up, slide into my DMs. I'll go and just watch it with you. Like, we can just sit and watch it and talk about it. We can hash everything out after. Like,
slide into my DMs.
It was really good. It was really good, especially because it's Bradley Cooper's first it's his directorial debut. Mm-hmm. And given that it's his first, like, there was some crazy stuff in it. I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about it, and like a shot at the end, and I don't want to spoil it, like they start really low on him and they're like at his feet. And the Boxers podcast. He was saying he wished that they would have stayed with that shot the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been crazy if they stayed with that at the very end when he goes into the garage.
Yeah.
If they stay low on him and you kind of just, you know what happens from that.
Yeah.
That would have been crazy. But the way they ended it, it was like he was on a stage. He had the lights on him and everything like mm-hmm. that. So that being said, go see A Star Is Born. Go see Bohemian Rhapsody. Let us know what you think at By Your Terms on Twitter, By Your Terms on Facebook, anywhere you want to find us. Let us know what you think. Do you agree with me that A Star Is Born is better? Do you agree with Jess that Bohemian Rhapsody is better? You let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
I do want to dive into the last piece of this podcast.
Yeah, we're going to really switch it up on you guys.
Well, A Star Is Born, there's a lot of traveling in A Star Is Born, right? They're going to Arizona. They're going to New York, Los Angeles. They're all over the place. I don't have a sounder for this, so we're just going to... Okay. You want me to make a sounder?
No, it's fine.
Okay, fine. All right, fine. We're going to talk about some travel tips. Yes. The reason why we're going to talk about some travel tips, and this kind of links back to these two. So we went to Boston recently to go see a concert. Mm-hmm. We were very surprised when we went to Boston on how cheap the whole ordeal was.
Yeah. Thanks to me.
Yeah. So we can dive into that a little bit if you want.
Sure.
So
yeah, so I'll kind of explain what happened. Mitch really wanted to see a certain band that I've honestly never heard of at the House of Blues.
Yes.
So for Christmas, I booked us tickets to go see the concert. I got us a hotel room that I found on Groupon, and that was his Christmas present.
And it was great.
So how did we do this? So the concert was on Saturday night. So yes, we decided instead of driving up to Boston, we're only about 45 minutes away from the city, so it's not terrible. We usually go drive up, park, whatever. But because we were spending the night, we decided, why don't we take the train? That way we don't have a car. Parking in the city is pretty expensive. It's about $55 to $75 depending on where you park, and that's per night. So we decided to take the train up to the city.
We shipped up to Boston.
And the cool thing that the city has going on right now on the T is on the weekend, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can buy a $10 all-inclusive fare pass. So basically you buy this pass and it's good all weekend for $10.
Yes.
So we got...
You can go anywhere too. Anywhere.
Yep, anywhere. So we got to and from Boston for $10 each, so $20 for transportation.
Yep.
So
you marked this all down. I like that. You came prepared.
It's all in the head. So that's my first travel tip: is if you live near a city, look at the train fares, because you might be pleasantly surprised. For us, the train was actually quicker than probably driving into the city. More relaxing. We didn't have to deal with traffic.
You get to people watch, like, yeah, you read about.
It was great. And it was easy. It was so easy. We waited for the train. It came within 10 minutes. Look at the schedule. And then we were there.
Yeah. I think if we were to park in Boston, it was going to be like $45.
It would have been $55 at the hotel.
Exactly. And then you have a car, so you have to get around Boston. Mm-hmm. So by taking the train, we ended up saving like $25-$30.
Yep.
It was pretty good.
So from the train station, it was a really nice day out, so we just decided to walk to the hotel. And this is the second time I've booked a hotel on Groupon, and yes, I've been pleasantly surprised. So the first time we booked a hotel was when we went over to Foxwoods in Mohegan for another concert. We saw Old Dominion up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the hotels on Groupon are like $100. And the one we stayed at in Foxwoods was probably like a CB hotel. Like, it wasn't the best.
Probably
but
three
it
and a half out of five.
Yeah, but it was nice.
It was a part
decent
of the Foxwoods Resort.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Like, you had the shuttle.
It's just the older one of the five. But the hotel we stayed at in Boston.
Holy smokes, was I blown away by that thing.
Super bougie, like gorgeous. They like one of the hotels, they offer you a bottle of water when you check in.
Yeah. I'm like, nah, man. I don't even know where I am right now.
So we checked in. It was $100 for the night.
Yeah.
Which for the city, we were in downtown. We were right in the art district.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing.
It was great.
So I would certainly recommend, if you're looking to travel somewhere, check Groupon, Living Social, because they'll have the best deals. And they always have coupons. So if you're signed up for their emails, you can get up to like 20% off your stays.
And it works too in Orlando, because we
everywhere.
We had stayed down in a few years ago. We stayed at the Avanti Resort. It's mm-hmm. not the greatest resort. It's probably like a 3-star resort. But
we stayed there when they first
opened.
When
they first just opened, but they're 7 miles from Disney. They're like a mile from Universal. Mm-hmm. So we stayed there then, but they are on Groupon now, and you can save a boatload. It's like $60 a night if you book through Groupon.
And they're a decent hotel.
They're good enough. Yeah. They get the job done.
Yep.
You know, so Groupon is definitely the place to be. It worked for us in that trip, because even the room itself, like, it had a walk-in closet. It had a bigger closet than we have here at our house.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It was a super nice hotel, and the view was amazing. I think we definitely got our money's worth that night.
For sure.
And then, so that's one of the things we do to really save on travel is use those third-party websites to kind of shop and compare. And they always run specials. So if you're looking to go on a one-night trip, check them out because they always have discounts and stuff happening.
Another thing, since we're talking about hotels a little bit right here, another way to save on hotels, and this is something we did when we went to California the second time, Airbnb.
Yes.
So we went to California twice. We bought our tickets to Disneyland. We saw that they had some upgrade special where it was going to be like $200 if you get the annual pass, you're good for another 13 months. Mm-hmm. So we ended up upgrading. We're like, we'll just come back.
Yeah. And then I went back without Mitch.
Yeah. So you really made good use of that.
Yeah, I made good use of my AP that year.
But so we ended up staying in an Airbnb in Anaheim, which is like 5 minutes from Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you're going to stay on property at a Disney resort or not, this is a good happy medium where you'll get like the amenities that you're looking for. You'll get a full kitchen. You'll get a living room. You'll get a bedroom. You'll get washer and dryer included. Like you'll get all this stuff for like a third of the price of staying at Disney and you're right there. Mm-hmm. So you can just Uber over. That's what we did. We Ubered over and it was like a $5, $7, $8 Uber. Like it wasn't expensive at all. It was great. So I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah, always check Airbnb. And I know a lot of people are like sketched out about it. I think follow the reviews. If it has a lot of decent reviews, then you're good to go. If it doesn't, maybe it's a little sketchy. Maybe go to the next one. I think just with everything else, be savvy when it comes to other people's reviews that are there.
Yeah, I think we've done an Airbnb, I think, 3 times now. Mm-hmm. We did it for a ski trip. We did it for something else, too. And we're doing it for a 4th time when we go to Nashville in September. Yep. And I have no complaints about it. I think it's great.
We've had good experiences thus far, so we'll see how Nashville goes.
Other than that, things I wrote down, Expedia. Expedia, fun fact about Expedia, if you're using that for hotels, if you're really keen and smart about it and you're looking at the right times, you can get like Disney hotels or Universal hotels on Expedia for like
a fraction.
A good amount off, and you still get all the same stuff. So if like it's the Hard Rock, you get the Express Pass. It's crazy. It's good stuff. Do you have any ways that you would save on airfare?
I am a Southwest girl. I think they're the most cheapest, easiest, convenient airline out there for what we do. So I use my Southwest card religiously and pay it right off. So I accumulate a lot of flight points and that's how we travel.
Yeah. Cause you get a point per dollar spent.
Yeah. And sometimes two, depending on what it is.
Right.
So I think in that respect, we both do it, both of our go-to way of flying. I think our flights to Florida were practically free.
Well, no, the flights to Nashville, we just booked with points. Yep.
So, and it's like $10 when you book with points for the service fee.
And you get like 6,000 points annually just added to you. And if you're just signing up, you end up getting like 50,000 if you meet whatever first 3 months mm-hmm. purchase limit that they have.
And they send you drink coupons.
And they do that, which we'll actually be able to use.
Woo woo. But yeah, I think that any like, if you have a preferred flight, they all have cards now, but Southwest, I think we get the biggest bang for our buck.
The only other suggestion I have, it's something I came across recently when we were looking into our Florida trip. It's an app. It's called Hopper. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you download the app. You can go into it. You can select a flight from any airline and put like a watch list. Put it on like a watch list. So what they'll do is they look at it and have some kind of algorithm that tells you what price point the flight's at now, if it'll be dropping, and when you should book the flight.
Yeah, so it kind of helps you keep an eye on the flights you're watching.
So it'll tell you, like, this flight's not going to drop in price anytime soon. You should book it now. So I think that's pretty cool. It's a good idea if you're looking into flights, but you don't want to spend more than you have to. It'll kind of keep you on your toes, essentially. In terms of expensive trips, the only real thing I have in terms of saving for it is to tell you to use a credit card with cash back or something like that. I have a a Chase Freedom card that I use, you get 1.5% cash back on all purchases. Mm-hmm. So I do the same thing that you do with your Southwest card. I purchase it, pay it off, and just let the cash back accrue. And then when it's time to book the trip, I did this with ours to Florida, you can cash out the points. You can either get the cash to send to your account. You can get it sent as a gift card. So I had done the old school method thinking we could do it of getting Target gift cards to then use on the 10% the Disney to get Disney gift cards. Yeah. Can't do that anymore.
No. So what he's talking about, if y'all don't know the secret, this is old. They no longer let you do this anymore.
They figured it out.
They figured out my trick and probably a lot of other people's tricks. Right after Black Friday, Target would let you buy gift cards for 5% off, and then you got another 5% if you used your Target card.
Yep.
So usually Mitch and I would have a Disney trip planned out. So I would basically buy like $3,000 in Target gift cards and then pay off our Disney trip, and we'd save like $300, $400 depending on how much I buy. And before Target did that, there's a site called Raise, RAISE.com, where you can buy discounted gift cards. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people would post their Target gift cards for like 10, 20% off. So I would buy those in bulk and then do the same thing, go there, buy Disney gift cards. But unfortunately, you can no longer buy gift cards with a Target gift card, so it doesn't work. So in the past, we saved tons and tons of money on Disney, but unfortunately, they don't let you do that anymore.
Right. So now, the way I've been saving for trips and for like spending money and stuff like that is just racking up Amex gift cards, whether it be like winning something. Like, first of all, I'm the most competitive person that I know. Yeah. I'm just being 100% honest. If there's a competition, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to win it. So at work, we had a weight loss competition. I wanted I wanted to lose some weight, lost the weight, won a $100 gift card. An Amex gift card. So I'm saving that to use on our Disney trip that we have coming up in July.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Disney trips are a little tough to plan for depending on what you want to do. Because you can do Disney on the cheap.
You can, yep.
But no one wants to do Disney on the cheap.
No, because once you're immersed in the magic, you want to experience all the magic. But a few tips, I think we found the Disney card's awesome.
Yes. You get a ton of discounts on in park. You get a ton of discounts with it. So if you book a trip, you get 6 months interest free on that purchase, which is nice. If you book it early, you have the 6 months to actually pay it off. It's pretty good. You also get discounts on the tours, which we did once.
Yeah,
we did
I think it's 10 to 15% depending on the tour, I want to say.
We did the one in the Magic Kingdom.
Behind the keys or something with a
keys
key.
Keys to the Kingdom?
Keys to the Kingdom.
Maybe it's not that. I don't know.
No, I think it is. I think you're right.
It's the one that it brought us into Adventureland, and then we went to the Haunted Mansion. We had lunch at one of the...
Liberty Tavern.
Yes. And then they brought us down into the Utilidor system.
So cool.
That tour was worth the money for me.
Absolutely.
The fact that you get the extra discount is perfect for me because I like saving.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say that we definitely got our money's worth. I think it...
For sure.
Mitch and I are very much nerds in the sense we like to learn how everything works, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
So I think when we're on a tour like that, we really just soak in all the information because we love useless information.
Yep.
And... like tips and tidbits and
fun
things to tell other people. So I think for us, we really love that tour because it kind of gave you a lot of Easter eggs that you never really knew about Disney or to look for unless they told you.
Right.
So for us, I want to say we spent like $100-something on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And it was well worth it. I would love to do another one.
You can ask the guide that you have, like any question that you would have. I think I asked him about the dragon. You remember the Disney dragon that came out when Fantasyland launched and they had the person flying in the air in the dragon suit? I asked if that was ever going to come back. He didn't know, but
You can still ask.
You can still ask, yeah.
So I think the Disney card is definitely, and you save, I think it's 10% in all the Disney gift shops.
You save on dining too.
Save on dining. There's a fast, there's a picture spot with characters that is exclusive to Disney card holders.
They used to have like a card holder lounge. I think they got rid of that because they're doing construction.
They're doing construction, but it might come back. So there's a lot of, and then they do Disney store perks too every once in a while. So you get like 25, 30% off your store perks.
You get a certain amount off if you spend over 50. Mm-hmm. I think that applies to the Disney stores.
Yeah, I want to say it's 10%. But the best part about it is the Disney rewards. I think if you use it, so I don't use my Disney card as much as I do my Southwest card because I think I get a better bang for my buck with Southwest.
Because I think it's for each dollar spent, it's like a quarter point for the Disney card, whereas you get a full dollar. You get a full point for each dollar spent on Southwest.
And don't quote us on this stuff. Like, go check it out if you're interested.
Yeah.
But there have been times that I've gotten like $100 that I can use in the parks, which is nice. Like, if you're going to Food and Wine, you can just swipe and whatever. It's a free food and wine drink or meal that you would have had to pay for.
Yeah, I think the last real point that I would drive home in terms of a Disney trip is book it really early.
Yes.
You can book
plan them
like over a year in advance, I want to say. And when you do that, you put like a minimum down and then you can just kind of pay it off as you go. It's not really due until the month before.
Yeah.
So at least then you got it booked and you know that, all right, I've got 12 months, I've got 10 months or whatever to pay this off. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's easier to have it booked and know what you got to pay off than be like, all right, I'm going to save for a Disney trip and then not really know the cost of something.
Yeah.
So
I like how Disney does that.
Right.
They kind of like let you plan your vacation well in advance and book the fast passes, book your dining well in advance, plan your days because it will make your life so much easier.
For sure.
The one thing we didn't cover though is renting DVC.
Yes.
Huge, huge topic that we can dive more into if y'all have any questions. I feel like we're kind of experts in this field. We've rented DVC tons and tons of times.
And now we're going to try to buy DVC.
And yeah, I think that's our next big venture is buying DVC. But we've rented probably two handfuls of times.
We got married in Disney and you rented DVC for like everybody that came
to the wedding.
Yeah, that was pretty solid.
Yeah. So if you guys have any questions or are interested in doing that, you can certainly slide into my DMs and I can help you. But there's a lot of websites out there. Just make sure you use a reputable website. I wouldn't go on to like a Disney blog or they have like mouse owners. I wouldn't necessarily trust somebody you find in a chat space.
Dave's DVC Rentals is usually pretty good.
That's the one I typically would go for. And there's a few others out there. DVC Resale, I want to say, is another one. But I think if you're looking to kind of have a higher end hotel but spend like a moderate hotel price, it's well worth it.
100%. You get the kitchenette.
Yeah, you get kitchenette. You get, a nicer hotel. So if that's something, if you're looking to do Disney kind of like more of a bougie Disney trip, it's well worth it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So if you guys have any awesome travel trips, throw them over our way because we're always looking to we go away a lot. That's like our fun thing to do. My mic is all wonky tonight, guys. I'm sorry. But that's like what we enjoy doing is traveling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, if you have any other tips, just definitely send them our way. Slide into our DMs, as the kids say. So to wrap up this episode, watch The Bachelor. 100% watch A Star Is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody and travel the right way.
Yep.
I would say.
Save money and travel. Perfect. Y'all.
Y'all.
So. Get out there.
We have a bunch of amazing stuff. I do want to actually...
Oh my goodness. We had so much fun tonight.
Yes, I want to use this point in time to promote something. I don't like to plug a ton of things. I didn't even do that last week. I just said we're done. We are going to be coming out with vlogs now on YouTube. So we filmed the first one tonight.
I'm a little nervous about this whole thing.
I'm not. And I hate my face. Like, I haven't taken a selfie in 15 years. And I don't even know if selfies existed.
You're such a liar. You take selfies.
Yeah, but you made fun of me. So now I'm like self-conscious. Anyway, so we did a vlog on baking things. I think we're going to start doing a vlog. Try to do it weekly. And just kind of update you on what we're doing, on fun things that we do, so you can see it. Because when we're talking about it on the website and in our blog, or when we're talking about it on the podcast, you can't see it. You can't live in it. And I feel like a vlog is really good to do that. So we're going to be doing that. It's by your terms on YouTube. I hope to have the first one posted shortly after this episode, actually. So definitely check that out. We have shirts like you read about.
Oh, my goodness. And we've been so busy this week with shirts. With, like, a lot of shirts we haven't recently sold, which is super exciting.
Right, and we're testing out new ideas with screens to make it a little bit easier for us. You can see all the shirts we have on our Etsy store. That's at shopwithbyt.com. The blog, we post weekly on the blog. It is www.buyyourterms.com. You can also use that if you have a custom order request. And we're at By Your Terms on all social media platforms.
Find us, like us, slide into our DMs.
With that, we are done.
We're out.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.